Off the Ball, GAA.
The story out there was that they were the tough team, Tipperary. They were the team all the steel, because we were kind of the aristocrats, the team with all the skill.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Wednesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. Coming up, Jack Crowley finally ends speculation regarding his future. Connacht explore the possibility of a temporary move to Salt Hill. And Rugby Australia looked set to name another former Ireland coach as the new Wallabies boss. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First today, the big news of the day comes from Munster, where Jack Crowley has signed a 2-year contract extension. The out-half has committed to his home province until at least 2027. Crowley's new deal ends speculation that he could move to English Premiership club Leicester, where it's believed he was offered €750,000 a season to replace the Bulls-bound Andrew Pollard. Staying with Munster means his basic salary will be around half that offered by Leicester, but he can top up those earnings via his sponsorship deals with the likes of Adidas and Pinergy. He's kicked 67 Munster points in 11 starts this season, including Saturday's drop goal that helped secure a victory away to La Rochelle in the quarterfinals in the last 16 of the Investec Champions Cup. And signing a new contract is believed to be rooted in his desire to break back into the Ireland team. Speaking to Off the Ball earlier this week, the Independent's rugby correspondent Rory O'Connor says Crowley is performing at an incredible standard at the moment.
Like, what more can he do, I suppose, to prove Andy Farrell wrong? Because the team was built around Johnny Sexton in the first place, they expect that they're trying to replace Johnny Sexton. And now Jack Crowley's a different player. But I watched Joey Carberry on Sunday, looking like a confident, mature international out-half, running the show in a brilliant Bordeaux backline. And I was thinking about how he was broken by the experience of being cut, like mercilessly cut by Andy Farrell, like just dropped like a hot stone, never recovered from Munster. You know, by the end of the season, he'd lost his place in the URC. I think he went to South Africa as a 24th man. Ben Healy was being picked ahead of him. And he's had to go away to recover his form and to fall in love with rugby again. And it looks like he's really happy. And it's brilliant because he's a quality player. And like, you know, in an ideal world, he'll be back in Ireland in a couple of years and maybe competing with the two lads. But at the moment, he's rebuilding himself. But Crowley's managed to deal with Andy Farrell. It hasn't been quite as ruthless, or it hasn't been quite as dramatic, but it was a pretty, like, it was quick and it was fairly painful to deal with. And to come out of the Six Nations, and the Italy game didn't go brilliantly for him. It was okay, but it wasn't, I'd say, when he woke up that morning, it wasn't what he wanted to deliver. But the last 2 weeks, that's I guess what the response Farrell wants. He wants Crowley playing really well. And right now, like, I think they're pretty much neck and neck, but Crowley's probably edging it at the moment. Like, Jack Crowley should be in the Lions conversation, and he wasn't given an opportunity to put his hand up for that, and now he is, you know, belatedly. I think it's possibly a bit too late for him in that context. But winning away with Munster and potentially leading Munster to something that no one expected them to do a couple of weeks ago. If they go back to back in France, like, what more can he do, I suppose, to prove Andy Farrell wrong?
There's lots more from Rory, Andy Dunn, Mike Sherry, James Tracy and Brian O'Driscoll this week elsewhere in the OTB rugby feed, which you can access by becoming an Off the Ball member now. News of the Crowley deal is a huge boost for Munster, who are preparing to head back to France and Bordeaux this weekend, a game you can hear live and Off the Ball. This morning, Mike Sherry was asked where last Saturday's performance against La Rochelle came from and warned it will be difficult to replicate on Saturday.
I think it came from a lot of different elements. I think Munster have had a stop-start season. There's been a lot of change, obviously. They've had injury issues. So a lot of things came together. I think the coaching ticket have been in situ for quite some time. I think with the announcement of a head coach coming in next season, who most people are very excited about, has maybe added something as well. I think Chris Boyd's there, Alex Codling's there. I think Mike Prendergast has probably dealt with the disappointment of not getting the head coach role now and has refocused. Contracts have been signed, and I just think a lot came together. I think the Raj element, the Munster fans travelling down to La Rochelle, and it was set up for that type of day. Easier said than done to stop La Rochelle. You know what they're going to do, but like, even a microcosm of Josh Witcherly against Antonio, there's 4, 5, 6 stone in the difference, 5, 6 inches in the difference, and Josh, in fairness to him, stepped up and took his opportunity, and you know, that's what careers are made of. And now he the opportunity is there for him to push on. He's got an opportunity with Lachman being out. Can he back that up? Can the team back that performance up? Very, very hard to travel down to France and refocus and get back to that pitch that you were emotionally, physically, and follow that up after getting to such a level the previous week. That's the real challenge for Munster now, and whether they can get there is the real question.
And don't forget, Munster's Investec Champions Cup quarterfinal away to Bordeaux will be live and exclusive on Saturday's Off the Ball. Connacht are exploring the idea of playing a potential Challenge Cup semi-final at Pearse Stadium in Salt Hill. The Irish Independence report comes less than a fortnight after Connacht played their first ever game at Castlebar's McHale Park with their URC derby with Munster. The EPCR revealed the potential Champions Cup semi-final venues yesterday, but not those for the Challenge Cup. The Dexcom Stadium will only be able to accommodate just north of 6,000 fans for Saturday's quarter-final with Racing 92. That's due to the ground's current renovations. The Indos say that Connacht have engaged with the GAA about potentially moving any Challenge Cup semi down the road to Salt Hill. The GAA ground currently holds 26,000 fans at capacity. But back to this Saturday, and stand-in coach Cully Tucker says they're determined to make home advantage count against Racing.
Well, it matters, especially when it comes down to the to our supporters. I thought the atmosphere on, take the atmosphere last week in Mayo, it was absolutely incredible. But I thought the atmosphere on Saturday night as well against Cardiff was phenomenal. But I think we gave them a lot to cling on to for us as well in terms of our work rate off the ball, in terms of our willingness to go there physically. Look, we love playing in the Dexcom, you know, we love playing in front of our supporters. So it is a big factor. It is a big factor, but it's only a big factor if you make it tell as well, you know, and that's our job.
Meanwhile, Connacht have today confirmed the return to the province of Billy Millard. The 55-year-old will leave Harlequins, where he's been their director of rugby, to take up the newly created position of general manager of performance at Connacht. Millard will ultimately have responsibility for all high-performance programmes, male and female, at the province. They say the Aussies' appointment means they, quote, take a further integrated and aligned approach to their high-performance programmes across their pathway, academy and senior male and female teams, in line with our recently released 10-year vision and strategy and the Rugby in Ireland strategic plan. Bevan Parsons has been ruled out of Ireland's Women's Six Nations clash with England in Cork this weekend. The Connacht wing is still working her way back from a second broken leg in the space of 4 months. Ireland head coach Scott Beaman says Parsons has resumed training, but Saturday's game will come too soon.
Look, Bay's back in and training with us. Generally, there's a piece around building back up, so Bay's not back in the circle for a selection just yet, but it's coming quickly.
Last year saw Ireland concede 88 points to the same opposition in front of a record crowd at Twickenham, and although the setting is different, Beaman says his players will still need to be mindful of the occasion this Saturday.
You know, last time we turned up Twickenham, nearly 50,000 people, 8 deep on the walk in. Now, this time it's in Ireland, and my understanding is it's going to be pretty close, if not a sellout. So ticket sales have been good. People can see what we're trying to achieve and get on the back of it, and that's got to feed into a young team's psyche, I think. Getting people over here in Ireland. You know, last time we played down in Cork with a great result against the Welsh. We know this is going to be no easy feat, but we know that if we can take enough out of them, if we can fire a few shots, as we showed against that New Zealand game, then people start to doubt actually what they're about, and that feeds into our psyche. So is there an occasion piece? Well, England currently number one in the world, but we had a sevens group that managed to go over to Perth and beat Australia when they were number one in the world. So we've got people that have got layers to them now, that have got the scars from last year, but have had some experiences since then that they've managed to get back on the front foot. So, you know, somebody like Adana has had that experience in Twickenham, and since then has kicked the winning kick against New Zealand. So, yeah, there's all bits that add to it. We're confident. We've had a great training week in terms of pressure and how fast we're trying to play. So now it's just about producing that performance down in court.
And Beaman hopes an improved Ireland women's team can help broaden their appeal to the rugby public and beyond.
We want people to get excited about following what we try and do. We appreciate the results and winning and having a brand that people can look at and go and identify with. And then we want young boys and girls seeing it and going, actually, I want to play rugby. So there's a cascade effect, isn't there? We're doing some great things, not just at senior level, but down in the pathway that those 18s, 20s, WNTS, those programs are starting to mature and starting to produce producing players now, and hopefully inspiring next generation. So more boys and girls playing rugby at junior level hopefully creates a bigger pyramid, bigger, more numbers coming through, more people enjoying the game. Hopefully then just continues to grow the game overall in Ireland.
Les Kiss is set to be named the new Wallabies head coach, and he could keep his job as head coach of Queensland Reds, where his contract runs until 2026. Rugby Australia have been hunting for Joe Schmidt's replacement since the Kiwi announced in February that he'd be stepping down in October of this year. Kiss's name has been consistently in the frame to replace the man under whom he worked with Ireland for a year. Soon-to-be ex-Leicester manager Michael Checa had also been keen on the role, with Rugby Australia believed to be less keen on renewing a relationship that was severed after the 2019 World Cup. Brumbies head coach Stephen Larkham was another name linked to the job, but he removed himself from contention in recent weeks. According to the Sydney Morning Herald, Rugby Australia officials flew to Brisbane this week to discuss Kiss taking on the Wallabies job in tandem with his existing position at the Reds. It has been tried before, when Checa was handed the reins overlapping with his stewardship of the Waratahs. In media interviews this week, Rugby Australia boss Phil Waugh says they hope to confirm Schmidt's replacement inside the next fortnight. Welsh rugby continues to lurch from crisis to crisis. Cardiff have signalled their intention to enter administration, with players, coaches and staff informed of the grim news at an emergency meeting yesterday. The Welsh Rugby Union are to take on the day-to-day running of the club, at least in the short term. It was only January of 2024 when Helford Capital acquired an 84.55% stake in Cardiff, ending 10 months of negotiations in the wake of the death of former CEO Peter Thomas. The ultimate ambition of Helford Capital for Cardiff Rugby, they said at the time, is to deliver exceptional rugby experiences. This will be the second time the WRU has been forced to take over a troubled region in recent years, after the Dragons hit the financial skids in 2017. A WRU spokesperson said they are aware that Cardiff Rugby have confirmed notice of intention to appoint administrators, and we are working closely with the Cardiff board and the administrators to safeguard the future of professional rugby in Cardiff. BBC Wales business correspondent Hugh Thomas says the reasons behind the sudden lurch into administration remain unclear.
What we don't have is the detail of what is the financial distress or event which has meant that they fundamentally cannot afford to pay a bill, or that they have got creditors demanding money, whether that is, you know, it's speculation, but it's trying to sort of not talk about Cardiff in this sense, but you may have businesses who owe money that has to be paid by a certain time, and if they can't pay that money, well, the creditor wants the money out, so they might apply to try and force a company to do that. Administration is a process by which companies can step back, have this breathing space, and also look for a way to talk to the banks, to talk to potential buyers. It's really about breathing space. It's not about selling off the club, in this case, or sacking players. That's why there's been so much sort of reassurance around today about the fact that you can still turn up and see Cardiff play, and that the players will still be turning up as well.
And finally, Sam Underhill has been banned for Bath's next two matches. The England international flanker was sent off in the second half of Friday's Challenge Cup victory over Pau for a dangerous tackle. He'll miss Sunday's Cup quarter final against Gloucester and the Premiership match with Exeter the following weekend. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feeds to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other, and some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them, because for them it's not something bad. If somebody dies, for the whole community, is like an offering for Pachamama, to say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia.
As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Go, guys.
Go.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted
on Off the Ball.
to listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.